This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Week 10 of the college football season is upon us. I'm your host, Tim Murray, live from the D. Well, it's a podcast, so not technically live. Joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Matt Eumanns. Mr. Eumanns, you ready to rock and roll? Week 10, we've got a top five matchup there between Penn State and Ohio State.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it. Pretty good week. Pretty good schedule in college football. Great to be downtown here at the incredible D Casino. And right across from Bacon Nation and the Sigma Derby, two of the most popular spots downtown.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. I saw this five-star review. Knowledgeable hosts and entertaining hang with some winners. What more could you ask for?
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think it might have been my dad, but it's fine. One family member, but hey, five-star reviews do help us out. We have, as mentioned, a very good slate. We'll run through all of those. We've got best bets, and I even threw a new future into the betting portfolio, so we'll get to those.
Can't wait.
Let's start. As we always do, we want winners, Matt. We got to keep saying it as we try to keep it rolling with the biggest games of the weekend. We call it
the main course.
And now that it is November, at least probably when you're listening to this, unless you're listening right away and it's still Halloween, November, Thanksgiving on the mind, the main course. And let's get into it, Matt Eumanns. Ohio State at Penn State, number four Ohio State, number three Penn State. Penn State has not defeated the Buckeyes since 2016. Jimmy Franklin just 1-9 against the Buckeyes. This game, big noon on Fox. Will Drew Aller or will Bo Prabula be the starting quarterback? Right now, as we look at the point spread, mostly threes out there, but there are a couple 3.5 still out there if you search around. So money has been coming in on Penn State here. How do you break this one down?
Yeah, circuit just went from 3.5 to 3, actually, within the past hour of us kicking off this podcast today. William Hill book still at 3.5. I took 3.5 with Penn State. And as the first bet I made this week, Tim, it looked like it was not going to go to 4. I thought it would only go down to 3, so I did take the field goal on the hook with big game James Franklin. He's lost 7 straight to Ohio State. We know all about the trends, and they go in the wrong direction here. But if you look at the Nittany Lions schedule, I think it's been slightly tougher than what Ohio State has faced at this point. And the Lions have won on the road against USC, West Virginia, Wisconsin. Buckeyes, aside from that one-point loss at Oregon, I think have faced a relatively weak competition along the way. James Franklin's problem here and the stigma with him is he's a bully who normally beats bad and unranked opponents, and he fails miserably when he steps up in class. I don't think Penn State's going to be outclassed in this matchup, Tim. I watched Ohio State closely in basically every game this season. Buckeyes have been slow starters in several games. Actually, they got off to a better start against Oregon than they did against many lesser opponents. But last week, there's some issues on the Ohio State offense. Finished with 11 first downs, 285 total yards, only 64 rushing yards, and the offensive line's a little bit beat up. Maybe that's an aberration, and it's all obvious that Ohio State's got plenty of playmakers around veteran quarterback Will Howard, so the potential is there for this offense to really take off. But Penn State defense is not a pushover either. And, yes, you're right, there are some questions about the quarterback position this week for Penn State, but to me it's not a big concern. I watched a little footage of Drew Aller in practice. He was moving around. He's got the knee injury. I thought he was moving around okay. He's a game-time decision to start. I'm going to bet that he goes. But if not, I watched Bo Prabula last week against Wisconsin. He can get out and run.
Yep.
He completed 10 consecutive passes. He led 2 touchdown drives. He can throw with accuracy, and he runs well. He's got 2 of the nation's top running backs behind him in Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton. I think, Tim, that, you know, I know you've talked about this before. I think James Franklin hired an offensive coordinator like Andy Koltunecki away from Kansas for moments like this to get his team over the game, over the hump in big games. And look, I'm fully aware that James Franklin might screw this up. I'm aware of the risk, but I'm taking the 3.5 with Penn State here because I'm not that impressed. I'm not as impressed as most people with Ohio State.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Andy Colton, Nikki, because it's funny. I mentioned in the preseason about the parallels that I saw when James Franklin went out and got Joe Moorhead to be his offensive coordinator, took him from Fordham, made him his offensive coordinator back in 2016. Ironically enough, that was the last time that Penn State beat Ohio State in what was a pretty thrilling game at Beaver Stadium. However, that was a night game. Crazy whiteout atmosphere, 24-21. I certainly wish that was the case. I have not bet the side. Probably would lean your way, especially around 3.5. What I did bet was first half under. Now, full disclosure, I took a bad number. I took it earlier in the week at 22.5. It is now 23, which is a quasi key number in the first half, Matt, 13-10 type of situation. But when I look at Penn State, a look at that defense, Abdul Carter, an absolute menace coming off the edge, and you've got a offensive line with serious concerns for Ohio State down to their third string left tackle.
Right.
And who do I trust for Ohio State? Do I trust Ryan Day? Eh, not really. I trust Jim Knowles. I think he is one of the better defensive coordinators out there. And while I do have questions about the Ohio State secondary, Matt, do I believe that Penn State has the playmakers out wide to take advantage of Ohio State's questionable secondary? So I think there's a possibility late in this game things could get weird. You could see some breaks. But I think, as you mentioned, Ohio State gets off to some slow starts. I think this is more of a feeling out process, maybe a 10-6, 10-7 type of first half. So for me, my official play on this one will be first half under 23. That's the way I will roll. You'll take the 3.5 with Penn State in this one. Fox, noon Eastern kickoff there. Number 4, Ohio State at number 3, Penn State.
You know, it's really a shame, too. This should be a night game.
Yep.
This should be featured in the primetime spot at night. A whiteout in Happy Valley gets no better than this in terms of atmospheres in college football. But we have the networks bidding for these games, and Fox has got the early kickoff on Saturday. Tim, we don't have a World Series Game 6. Look at the night schedule in college football. It's wide open.
There's no late
games.
There's
nothing there.
There's no late games.
This should be the night game in college football, and it's unfortunate that sometimes TV ruins situations like this.
It's an absolute disgrace. No games kicking off after 8 p.m. Eastern this week.
Right.
Ridiculous for us West Coasters and us late-night college football bettors as well. But a first half under for me, Penn State for Matt, plus the points there against Ohio State. And I've been to a whiteout game as an opposing fan. It's not fun. It's a pretty crazy atmosphere, certainly be a part of. Speaking of primetime, let's get to the primetime game of the week. 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Number 10, Texas A&M on the road at South Carolina. Texas A&M, boy, Matt, I thought I was dead on the wrong side after 30 minutes of football last Saturday night. I took the Aggies. The market moved against me. LSU ended up as a one-point dog, and they were up 17-7 at half. Mike Elko makes the decision to go to Marcel Reed, and just like that, that game flipped on its head. He uses his legs, does the read option perfectly. Garrett Nussmeier starts to throw some interceptions, and now Texas A&M is looking ahead, Matt, at a pretty clear path to the SEC championship game. However, they got to go on the road to Williams-Brice. Night game, South Carolina coming off a bye, and there's going to be no element of a surprise here for South Carolina, knowing that more than likely Marcel Reed could come in. It felt like Brian Kelly and Blake Baker were caught off guard when Marcel Reed came into the game because Connor Wegman absolutely stunk up the joint last Saturday night. So I don't think you have a play on this one. Totals at 44. Spread went down to 2.5, open 4, now sitting at 3 as we record this on Thursday.
Yeah, South Carolina's on my short list here. Did not make my list of best bets for the show, and I have not played it yet, but I might end up on the Gamecocks by Saturday. You know I like home dogs, and this is one I think should be live, like you said, off the bye. A&M off the big win over LSU. And you're right, Tim, last week at halftime, what, Tigers led that game 10-7?
17-7.
17-7 at halftime. And it was the right move by Mike Elko, obviously, to make the quarterback switch. In fact, I thought he should have made it sooner. But, you know, making it a halftime paid off big time for the Aggies last week. You know what?
Getting in it?
I know the,
join?
I know the Aggies are 5-0 in the SEC, 7-1, like you said, at the top of the standings. You feel like the team is not quite that good and that record's a little bit phony and they might need a reality check here. South Carolina might give it to them. I know that a lot of people are looking down the road at that A&M-Texas game, you know, at the end of the season as maybe one of the big, obviously one of the biggest ones left in the Big 12. But this could put a damper on that a little bit if South Carolina pulls the upset. And I'm not going to be surprised if it happens. But like I said, I wanted a little bit more than three here with the Gamecocks and didn't get it. So it's going to be a pass for now. But I'll probably end up on South Carolina somehow.
You mentioned your first bet of the week was Penn State. My first bet was South Carolina. Yeah. I was fortunate to grab the four. Got down to 2.5, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to have to go out 2.5 on the podcast. At three, I'm fine with it. I do think you sprinkle it on the money line here. And you look at this South Carolina defense, number 15 in rush defense, and what's the best defense that Texas A&M has faced this year?
Notre Dame.
Yeah. And they only had 246 yards of offense in that one. Now, am I confident that Lenora Sellers is going to get me to the finish line? Not really, but coming off a week bye week, I love this South Carolina defense. I think under 44 certainly could be a look. I think there's a bit of a correlation between South Carolina and the under here, but give me the points here with the Gamecocks, primetime game, and, you know, I don't think it's an overlook spot necessarily, but certainly a letdown factor after that big win over LSU for Texas A&M, and they get into the top 10. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We've got one more game to hit on in that main course as the defending champions take on Oregon as north of two touchdown underdogs. Will Go Blue be competitive against the Oregon Ducks? We'll get into that and some spicy matchups as well. We're up and running. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free, unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast alongside Matt Eumanns. I am Tim Murray. We're live here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. All right, one more game in the main course, and I was texting with Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook earlier this week, Matt, and I was curious what the look-ahead line, the summer line was on Oregon at Michigan, and they said they opened at Oregon 2.5, closed it before week zero, Oregon 3.5, and right now Oregon, as they head to the Big House, is a 14.5 or 15 point favorite, depending on what book you look at. And I looked at Evan Abrams, who does a pretty good job of finding kind of these unique trends. Michigan being a double-digit underdog at home has only happened three times since 1990, 2013, 2017 and 2009, all to Ohio State. So it's a rarity for Michigan to be this big of a dog at home. You love home dogs. Do you love this home dog?
I'll give you another trend. Offenses with crappy quarterbacks are typically no good. And that's what the Michigan Wolverines are looking at this season. But I'll also take the 15. I did this week. I took the 15 with the Wolverines. I feel like you can play this up if you're Sherrod Moore as a, hey, this is disrespect. We're the defending champs. We're at home in the Big House. We're 15-point underdogs. And not only that, if you look at all the former Pac-12 teams on the West Coast that have gone to the Midwest and East Coast, most of them have not fared well, Tim, on those road trips to the typical Big Ten sites. I think one of the bigger factors for me, too, here is that Davis Warren is back at quarterback for Michigan. He's no superstar, far from it. But they're using Alex Orji out of the backfield, and he got some carries last week in a running back situation. And he's an athlete who can make plays. And what Michigan's got to do is get a few explosive plays out of the offense, a few sustained drives, and let the defense do the rest, go to work. And I think that'll be enough to stay inside this number. I do not think Dylan Gabriel and the Ducks are going to go on the road here and completely light up the Michigan defense, and it's going to be a blowout. I don't think that's how it's going to happen. And, it's a numbers play as much as anything. I thought this I made this number right around 10.5, 11. Well, I got up to 15. I said, okay, I got to take it. You got me. Reeled me in. I'm taking the 15 with the Wolverines.
3:30 Eastern. This game will be on CBS as Michigan catching north of 2 touchdowns against the number one team in the country. All right, that's going to do it for the main course. We love spicy food here on this program. Me, Matt, we throw hot sauce on everything. So let's get to those unique matchups for this weekend.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
All right, Matt, this is the saying that JVT likes to say, catch the falling knife. Can you catch the falling knife? Indiana has covered 7 straight games. I've gone against them twice. You've gone against them twice. And we've got some cuts on our hands to show for it. Haven't gotten there. Best cover margin in the damn country. 15.7 points per game. The only team to cover against the mighty Hoosiers, FIU, by a half a point. I'm doing it again. This is the spot. I said that before. Michigan State at home catching 8. Curtis Rourke, according to CBS Sports, is on track to play in this game for Indiana. I think when you look at the situation, Indiana, big noon kickoff against Nebraska, thumped them. College game day against Washington, won with a backup quarterback. Next week, you play Michigan at home. The next game after that, Ohio State. Got to go up to East Lansing. The game's on Peacock. 3:30 Eastern kickoff. I like Jonathan Smith. I think he'll know the number like he did against Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold my nose, and I'm going to try for a third time to beat this damn Indiana team. Give me the points.
Tim, are you going to go to the deli here? Is that what you're saying? This is a sandwich spot?
Sandwich spot.
Is that
Murray
what you're saying?
Delicatessen.
You know, and it is a bit of a letdown spot for the Hoosiers, too. And, hey, look, I have not been trying to bet against this team. I did last week. I took 7 with Washington. That didn't work out so well. But it's going to be different here away from home for this Indiana team against, a well-coached Spartans team that Jonathan Smith has, I think, exceeding expectations. Is Curtis Rourke going to be back? Probably looks that way. Taven Jackson played pretty well last week as his replacement. To me, it's more about at some point the Hoosiers have to have a letdown. They have to hit a – every team in the history of sports has hit a letdown spot at some point. Indiana has not. What is this magic Kurt Cignetti has? I think you're going to see the letdown spot, the flat spot here on the road in East Lansing. And I'm taking the 8 with the Spartans here.
All right. I want to lump these next two games together because Trendy Dogs, as Chris Felica, your friend, part of the Friday Circa Football Invitation, would say dogs with fleas. I think we've got 2 here, Pittsburgh and Vanderbilt. I'll start with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh 7-0, ladies and gentlemen, number 18 in the country. Some people say disrespect. Only 18th in the country, according to the AP pollsters. What are they watching? Well, they're watching a team that came from 21 down against Cincinnati with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. They're watching a team that got outgained 272-133 against Cal, who missed a chip shot field goal in one of the worst situational spots of the entire year coming off the Miami game. And they're also watching a team, credit to them, that was +5 in the turnover margin against Syracuse last week with 3 pick sixes.
Wow.
Kyle McCord, good Lord almighty, that was ugly. And then you've got SMU. The Ponies, -6 in the turnover margin last week, and won. One of the crazier games of the week. I was fortunate to be on the side of a money line parlay there that I thought had no shot of coming home. They block a field goal, stop a 2-point conversion. So SMU is laying 7.5 at home. Over at VSiN.com, our betting splits on Thursday afternoon show 78% of the bets, Matt, are riding with the road Pittsburgh Panthers as a dog. And then how about Diego Pavia? The man is an underdog god. 5-0 ATS this year are the Vanderbilt Commodores as an underdog. Going back to New Mexico State, 10-2-1 ATS as an underdog. And you know what he did last year? at New Mexico State. He went to the Plains as a 25-point underdog, and New Mexico State beat the crap out of Auburn 31-10 on November 18th.
Yep.
Now everybody knows about Vanderbilt. You were on Vanderbilt last week. Easy winner. Mm-hmm. Now, if you looked into that game a little bit, fortunate breaks here and there, a couple turnovers helped them stay within that number. I think this is where we've gone too far. They're now going on the road. So I'm not going to lay either one of these numbers. I like SMU a little bit more than Auburn, but I'm going to do it. Probably hate myself, but I'm going to put these two together. SMU, Auburn, around minus 115, money line parlay, these two together. Give me the Ponies with War Damn Eagle. Money line parlay, Matt. Rolling with fading two trendy dogs.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to do that because I like SMU to win straight up, Auburn to win straight up, but you're not getting any number value with Vandy at this point on the road because think about the point spreads Vandy's been getting in a lot of these games.
19 last week against Texas, 24 against Alabama. Right.
And, you know, to me that's very attractive when you get those big numbers like that. And here, in a one-score game, you're getting seven and a half. That's not enough for me to get on the Commodores this week, even though it's been you know, a great story in college football. You talk about right now, who should be coach of the year? Mike Elko at A&M.
Signetti.
Clark Lee. Vanderbilt. Kurt Signetti. Indiana. Yep. Right? Those are three of the top candidates. I like the way you're playing this on a money line parlay. And also, I think Pitt has got to get the reality check this week. I mean, obviously, that record is phony. If you look inside the numbers, Pitt is not an undefeated team. Last week, we took a whipping with some of us took a whipping with Syracuse and the points, but I'm not gonna lay it here with SMU. But I think you're right that SMU is gonna win the game.
Pat Narduzzi did say that Eli Holstein, the quarterback for Pitt, should be good to go. Kevin Jennings, I believe the report earlier in the week was that he was trending to being able to play in that game. So money line parlay, SMU Pitt, 8 o'clock Eastern, ACC Network. Vandy Auburn. Oh God, it's an early game, Matt. 12:45 Eastern on SEC Network. What could go possibly wrong? All right, one more spicy matchup before we hit a break here. USC at Washington, a classic Pac-12 showdown on the Big Ten Network at 7:30 Eastern, Matt. USC is laying 3 at Washington.
Big game for the win total if you bet Washington over or under because the Huskies sitting at 4. Win total is 5.5, and they still got UCLA at home on the schedule. So this is the most a second most winnable game for Washington down the stretch. Jed Fish got his team up for the Michigan game. I think the same thing's going to happen here. And the Lincoln Riley's team has been fading in the fourth quarter. Not only that, USC's had some defensive personnel losses that I think are going to start to show up here late in the season. As long as Jed Fish can leave his fat field goal kicker on the sideline and be more aggressive when he gets inside the 40-yard line, then Washington's got a much better chance to win this game. I think that when he trots out that hopeless loser to attempt field goals, everybody just cringes and says, go for it, Jed. And Washington's got to be more aggressive. If that's the case, I think he's going to win this game.
One more nugget on the Pitt game. Undefeated teams in game 8 or later that are dogs of 6 or more, just 7-27 straight up. Big game, Brom. Where, oh, where are you? Will you show up this weekend down in Death Valley? We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We'll get you our best bet recap to close out the show alongside Matt Eumanns. I am Tim Murray. But, Matt, I wanted to jump into a game right here where neither you or I have a bet on it, but I'm curious if we might get to the window. You and I like backing, at least in the past, big game Jeff Brohm. Well, this year, the big game has not necessarily been there. Louisville is now failed to cover in 5 straight games. They're at Clemson, Saturday night, Death Valley, 7:30 Eastern. This will be the 7th straight game for the Cardinals. Clemson coming off a bye. By the way, under Dabo, 15 straight wins off a bye, straight up for Clemson. Last 5 games for Louisville, Matt. 7-point favorite against Boston College, a spot that you and I really liked. They were down most of the game. One didn't cover. Miami catching 4. You and I both were on big game Jeff Brohm. Did not get there. UVA on the road, 7-point favorite, 1 by 4. SMU -6.5, lost by 7. And then September 28th, the best bet for you on this podcast, Notre Dame -6.5. Louisville lost by 7. 5 straight non-covers for Louisville. I looked at this game, but I just can't get there. I do think this Clemson team may be a little vulnerable in the next couple of weeks. I've got a future on them to make the ACC championship. But off a bye, Louisville playing their 7th straight game, night game, Death Valley. I couldn't get there on Louisville.
What do you think the result would be if we went back and replayed the Clemson-Georgia game from week one? Much closer game, do you think?
Yeah, Clemson's it was 34-3. It was a close first half, and then they just kind of fell apart. I don't think Clemson would win, but I would be intrigued to take the points.
I wonder if Clemson's really improved that much or just playing weaker competition and has looked better. And, by the way, Louisville, nice comeback last week against BC because I had BC +7.5, and I had to sweat that out. Cardinals came from way down the second half to win that game. Jeff Brohm has not been that great in big games, but, Tim, you know, I'm talking about the last year or two, actually probably since last November, right? Started to fade a little bit, take a step back or two. Even going back to the loss to Kentucky a year ago at the end of the season. I thought in the Miami-Louisville game, every bad break went Louisville's way, right? Went against Louisville, and I actually felt like we probably deserved a better fate taking the points with the Cardinals that day, and typically the home team shouldn't catch all the bad breaks. But the ACC officials apparently want to help Miami out in every critical stage of a game that's in doubt. As far as this goes, I think the number's about right. I thought about taking the dog here at 10.5, but I'm going to pass for now. I just don't have a lot of faith in Louisville.
My guy Stuckey pointed out in his write-up, Jeff Brohm as a dog of 6 or more, 18-9 ATS, so worth noting there that he has fared well usually in these spots. So it would be Louisville or pass, but right now it's a pass for me. Duke at Miami. This Duke team, I can't figure them out. I don't think they're very good. They're number 3 in the country in turnover margin. They're +10 in turnover margin the last 2 games. This is a fascinating game to me. Miami laying 20.5 in most spots. I'm a little interested in the favorite here. This is the Manny Diaz Revenge Bowl. Remember, he was unceremoniously fired by Miami to bring in Mario Cristobal. And I think most of you are thinking, well, wouldn't you want to back Manny Diaz here? I don't think so. My hunch is that those big boosters that are spending all the money, they want bloodshed. They want an ass whooping. So I actually would look favorite or pass here, but you and I don't love laying big numbers like this. So ultimately a pass, but I think Miami might win this one and win it going away.
Well, you got two problems here, Tim, from your perspective, if you want to bet this game. One is you're laying a huge number. Two is this game starts at 9 a.m.
Oh, no, thanks.
Time.
No.
Do you want to lose, get blown out by Miami at 9 a.m. and be in a bad mood all day?
Duke will probably win the damn game outright if I bet this game.
You know what? I'm 1-3 trying to fade the Hurricanes this season, and I don't feel like doing it this week.
All right, let's get to the cocktail party in Jacksonville. By the way, saw our friend Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, mention that these will be at different sites moving forward, but it's still in Jacksonville this year. Florida at Georgia, both of these teams coming off a bye. Florida right now laying 16 against Georgia. Actually, as I look at it, market moving against Georgia down to 14.5 at some shops, 15 out there. So a little bit of support here for your guy Sunbelt Billy coming off the bye here against Georgia, 3:30 on ABC.
Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of people have forgotten about Billy Napier and the argument he got into with the Florida mascot Albert the Alligator, right? I haven't forgotten, Tim. I also haven't forgotten my vow not to bet Florida anymore after I lost on that team 3 times in a row. So 15 looks like a high number here. I would have to get 17 to be interested in taking the Gators, and that 17 has disappeared. So not going to get there for me.
All right, let's get to a game in Ames. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Iowa State's undefeated? Yeah, they are. As is BYU, by the way.
Crazy thing is, Iowa State probably should have lost to UCF 2 weeks ago,
yep.
right? And you and I talked about this last week. Then UCF goes home and gets pummeled by BYU. Some of this stuff doesn't make sense.
I got a text from Stormy, who was doing the game on the sidelines last week, BYU and UCF. She goes, maybe BYU's good. I'm like, maybe they are, because I keep trying to figure out how to bet against them. It worked out on that Friday night with Oklahoma State, but they're not playing this week, BYU. Iowa State is, and Iowa State, you look at this schedule, Texas Tech this week, Barrett Mooring is going to play. You got Kansas on the road, Tech Road, that's at Arrowhead Stadium, Cincinnati, Utah, who's a disaster, and then the big one to figure out more than likely who will go to the Big 12 championship, a home game against Kansas State. They're laying 13.5 here, Matt, against Texas Tech, 3:30 Eastern, this game on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this one either. It's too big of a number, and we're going to have to pass on that because Red Raider is not instilling enough faith in me right now to play them as dogs in this game, and you know, typically I'm playing dogs 80 to 90% of the time here. So it's not what I want. And also can't get there with Houston against K-State, which was my preseason pick to win the Big 12. A lot of people were jumping on that Utah bandwagon, but K-State's been the play for me the whole way. And I don't want to lay the points on the road. I'm just hoping K-State takes care of business and wins the game.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that is a bet for me. Not on this game in particular, Kansas State at Houston, 3:30 Eastern on Fox. But I like Kansas State where they sit right now to win this conference, Matt. You've got BYU, who's undefeated and has that win against Kansas State, a game that you and I both bet in a great spot in Provo. But you look back at that game, I'll be honest, BYU did not truly win that game by 29 points. You look inside that box score, Kansas State outgained them 367 to 241. I would love a rematch with Kansas State against BYU on a neutral.
Sure.
It all comes down to this for Kansas State, in my opinion. They've already got a win over Colorado, so they've got the head-to-head tie right there. Can Kansas State run the table, win in Ames, and win this conference? At Houston, bye week, Arizona State, Cincinnati, both those games at home, and then finishing up at Iowa State. They avoided a scare last week against Kansas. They get a late field goal to get the victory. At FanDuel right now, you can get Kansas State a plus 320 to win the Big 12. I think that's a toss-up game on November 30th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. If Kansas State wins that game, I think they win this conference and they beat BYU more than likely in a head-to-head rematch. So that is the best bet for me. Plus 320, give me Kansas State to win the Big 12. And once again, always shop around. Iowa State sitting at plus 165 at DraftKings, plus 320 at FanDuel for Kansas State. Give me the K-State Purple Cats. I'm riding with your preseason winner at a better price now in the middle of the season.
How about that? I like that, too. I like that bet as well. And look at Utah down there at 500-1.
My goodness gracious.
Free fall.
It is pretty ugly. All right, let's get to the best of the rest. Let's sneak in one more bet here, Matt. Nevada, Colorado State. You know, Colorado State, believe it or not, is undefeated right now in the Mountain West. They could be taking on Boise State on the Smurf turf in early December. And for all those UNLV fans out there, they're hoping that is not the case. Does Nevada, with the return of Brendan Lewis, get the best of Colorado State in Reno on Saturday night, Matt?
Yeah, I like the Wolfpack here. And this is Jay Norvell's homecoming game, going back to Nevada where he coached, left abruptly for Fort Collins. I'm not impressed by this Colorado State team, Tim. I know you said they're 3-0 in the Mountain West, and that's a fact. But won a home game against San Jose. Won at Air Force 21-13 when Troy Calhoun, for some reason, went for two late in the game. Ran the fullback up the middle, and they got stuffed when he was down eight. And then last week, 17-6 against New Mexico. And, okay, holding the Lobos to 6 points is impressive. But how do you score only 17 points against that New Mexico defense? Also, one of the biggest factors here with Colorado State is the best player on the team, Torrey Horton, the leading wide receiver, has been out. And this is the type of game where I think it's going to show up. I watched closely last week the Nevada-Hawaii game. I don't think the final score indicates how close that game was. A lot of bad calls, bad bounces went against the Wolfpack. The key here is Brendan Lewis, the dual-threat quarterback, is expected to be back. And he makes a world of difference for that Nevada team. I like the Wolfpack, who played really well at home, as dogs in this spot.
I'm going to go against my rule. I'm going to bet a game at noon. We'll tell you about it on the other side. It may be the ultimate hold your nose special of the weekend. We'll also get our best bet recap and run through some other games on Saturday. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks. Just a reminder, stick around after we do our best bets recap. You hear that drumming? We'll have a bonus segment for you. We'll hit some Friday night games, a light slate on Friday, but we'll hit those for you, including a game on the Smurf Turf, a Mountain West game. That's a Matt Newman special. We'll hit that after the best bet recap.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe. If you see a stranger on the street, make sure you tell them about the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That's Matt Humans to my right. I am Tim Murray. We're here at the D in Las Vegas. All right. This might be a very painful bet, but I had to do it. So last year, Matt, on November 4th, the Air Force Falcons were playing Army at Rangers Stadium in Texas, in Arlington, Texas. They were an 18.5 point favorite. They lost that game 23-3.
Say, that was a bad number.
Since then, Army has not lost a football game. Mm-hmm. Also, since then, Air Force has won two football games. That's it. Merrimack, FCS Merrimack, and also their bowl game against the Kirk Cignetti-less James Madison Dukes. Air Force is 0-7 against the spread. Army's 6-0-1 against the spread. The number is 22.5 at some shops here in Vegas. That is a change of 41 points. This is the worst start to the season, to a season for Air Force since 2013. They started 1-7 in 2013. Do you know what they did in their ninth game in 2013? They beat Army. I don't think they'll win this game, but I'm going to go on the banks of the Hudson to Mikey Stadium, noon Eastern, which I can't believe I'm betting a noon game. It's against my religion. CBS Sports, and I'm going to take the Air Force Falcons, put the clothespin on my nose. I'm doing it. You got a total of 41, a spread of 22. Give me the points. Air Force, their season is lost. This is now their Super Bowl, Matt. Give me the points with the Falcons. They have been absolutely dreadful all year. What could possibly go wrong against Army, who, by the way, is 21st in the country, undefeated on the year, are the Black Knights.
Yeah, it might be their Super Bowl, but I've seen another team from Colorado get blown out in the Super Bowl. That was the Broncos way back in the day. And this Air Force team is awful. I understand the general principle here that when the point spread shifts that much that you just feel like you have to take the points. I don't necessarily disagree. I'm not playing the game, Tim, but if it's if Army is up 38-3 in the third quarter, don't send me an angry text about this, okay? Because you know what you're doing when you're taking a bad team.
I do.
And obviously Air Force, this is a huge game for the Falcons, and you think they should be up for it, and you want to take the points. And boy, how bad was that line last year? Why was there
18.5 on a neutral?
Why were we not taking the 18 with Army in last year's game?
Army stunk up until that point. Army was 2-6. Air Force was 8-0. Army won the game and has changed history, essentially. How about this note? Since 2005, this is another nugget from the Action Network, 19-5-1 ATS, Service Academy teams as a dog of 21 or more. So
a lot of signs point to taking the points with the underdog here. I understand it. Whew. Not making the play myself, but I can understand why you're doing it. By the way, probably the two most underrated atmospheres in college football, if you ever get a chance to go to a home game there, would you agree? Army and BYU.
Never been to either. I would love to go to both. Have watched tons of games. Army looks gorgeous. That area there, 34-7. That was the score. Navy kicked Air Force's butt earlier this year. Yeah. So not really a good precedent. All right, before we get to our best bet recap, let's roll through a couple of other games. Another noon Eastern game, Arkansas. I was on the wrong side of Wu-Pig Sui last week. I thought that could be a tricky spot as they went to Mississippi State. Not the case. Mississippi State here, Matt, laying 7.5 at Arkansas.
Razorbacks came up with nothing in a spot a couple weeks ago when a bunch of us played the Hogs against as home dogs against LSU. And I don't feel like going back to Arkansas here. Ole Miss is in a spot, Tim, where it's got no margin for error in terms of making the college football playoff. And I don't want to mess with Ole Miss at this point, betting against Ole Miss at this point, even though, you know, typically this would be a home dog I would play. I'm going to pass.
Noon Eastern, FS1, Minnesota at number 24, Illinois. Illinois coming off of a whipping at the hands of Oregon. Minnesota, very strong performance last week. I should have just laid the points instead of getting cute and putting them in a money line parlay with SMU. We got there, but I could have just laid it, and they smashed Maryland. Now Minnesota in the road favorite role, 2.5, 3 out there. This is interesting. We saw a flip of favorites. This game opened around 1, flipped to the other side. Max Brosmer is actually playing some pretty good football. The New Hampshire transfer there for Minnesota. Noon Eastern, FS1, Matt.
Well, this is one of those lines you look at and say, why is Minnesota a 3-point road favorite? That's a strange number.
Yep.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple people about this week because I've actually made Illinois one and a half point favorite right in that neighborhood in this game, and then it swings to Minnesota -3, and you're looking at it, you know there's sharp money behind that, and say, well, you know what, I'm just not going to mess with it. When a line stinks to you, a lot of times like a skunk, you should stay away from it. So I'm going to stay away from this game. I don't really, initially I thought, well, is there something up with Luke Altmyer, Illinois quarterback? Is he injured, possibly not going to play? But no, he's going to play. I don't think Minnesota should be a full 3-point road favorite here, and that's the number of most books out there. A couple of titanic games in the Big Ten on Saturday morning. Minnesota at Illinois, Northwestern at Purdue.
Woo! Purdue a road favorite, Matt.
Those games kind of overshadow the Ohio State-Penn State game.
Yeah. Also noon on the CW, ratings bonanza. We go to the Carrier Dome or whatever the hell they're calling Syracuse's home field. I kind of want to take Syracuse here, Matt, catching 4. Virginia Tech last week, 233 yards. Next week they host Clemson. Look ahead spot.
I understand fully what you're talking about here, but after watching Kyle McCord throw 8 pick sixes last week, I just can't do it.
It's
again.
Only 3. It's only 3.
It felt like 8. Have you ever seen a quarterback throw 3
no.
pick sixes in a
no.
game?
No. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable last Thursday night. All right, let's get to it. We've given out our best bet, so let's recap it. Make it all nice and neat before we get on out of here. We call it our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, you lead us off, sir. Run us through your plays for week number 10.
All right, I'll do it, and I'll go through them quickly because I understand that after a recent show, you complained to our producer, Wyatt Tomchek, that I talk too much, and I don't leave enough time for you to talk about your best bets.
I don't believe that is to be the case at all. I would never say such a thing.
Well, you know, last week I left you like 30 seconds to talk about your best bets. I kind of felt bad about that. So, Tim, I'm going to leave more time for you this week. Big Ten and Mountain West, home dogs. That's the theme. Last week I was 3-3. Hopefully 3-2 or better this week. Let's start in the Big Ten. Michigan State +8. We're going to try to beat or at least fade Kurt Cignetti a little bit here. He can win the game, but just don't cover a big number in East Lansing. Michigan State +8. Washington, 2.5-point home dog against USC. Also in the Big Ten, Michigan +14.5 or 15 at home against Oregon. Penn State, 3.5-point home dog to Ohio State. And let's go one to the Mountain West here. Nevada Wolfpack, 2.5-point home dogs in Reno against Colorado State.
Might have to join you on the Wolf Space Pack. That was one I looked at, left it on the chopping room floor. All right, 5 best bets for games this weekend, and then a futures play as well. Oh, God. Air Force +22.5. What could possibly go wrong? First text to Matt Eumanns, over under 9:07 a.m. Pacific time.
Check Tim Murray's Twitter Saturday morning about 9:15. Here we go again.
I can't believe I did it.
How did I bet Air Force? Okay.
I'll be on the air with the VSIN College Football Tailgate Show, by the way, which airs 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern time.
I'll be rooting for you. We're
Air
all
Force
rooting for you with
plus
Air Force.
+22.5. I don't know if everyone's rooting for me. Not all the branches of the military are going to be rooting for me. All right, give me Michigan State, another home dog situation. I am a common play here with Matt and myself here. Michigan State plus the 8 against Indiana. Ohio State, Penn State. I'm going to go first half under 23. Instead of full game, I do think there's a possibility, Jeremiah Smith. Things could get a little weird late in that game. I think it's a feeling out process. I trust Penn State's defense going up against the offensive line that is a bit banged up for Ohio State. I love Jim Knowles as a defensive coordinator. South Carolina plus 3. Took 4 to start the week. It went down to 2.5. You've seen a little bit of buyback here on Texas A&M. I think the Gamecocks certainly have a good chance to win this game outright, so give me South Carolina at home there, which should be a great atmosphere at Williams-Brice Stadium. And then we're going to go money line parlay against the two trendy dogs of the week. We're going to take SMU going up against Pittsburgh, laying 7.5. We're going to take them on the money line, and we're going to pair them with War Damn Eagle on the money line. Look around. Juice varies in that minus 115 range. And then lastly, Matt, a future to add to the portfolio. Kansas State, who plays Houston this week, I will take the K-State Purple Cats to win the Big 12, plus 320 right now at FanDuel.
Did you have enough time to talk about your best bets?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I set
Fine
myself
job.
Up.
Okay.
All right. Thanks to producer Wyatt. Thanks to producer Ryan. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and tell a stranger to subscribe.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Friday night slate, pretty light. My assumption is because of it's supposed to be game 6 of the World Series. We're not getting it. So on the forefront, we got Georgia State at UConn, South Florida at Florida Atlantic, and then The big game, San Diego State and Boise State. This number around 23.5, Matt, on the Smurf turf. Is this a letdown spot potentially for Boise State, fresh off of their Friday night victory here in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I don't want to bank on that. I don't think it's going to be a letdown spot at home for Boise in this game. And, you said there's no game 6 of the World Series. What happened? I fell asleep last night. In the fourth inning, Yankees were up 5-0. You tell me they didn't win the game?
They didn't, yeah. Cole didn't cover first
what
base.
What happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Juan Soto. No, excuse me. I'm going to put that dirty on Juan Soto. Aaron Judge dropped the fly ball in center
field.
Yeah,
well, that's disappointing, too, because I was really looking forward to game 6. I thought the Dodgers were going to be a great bet in game 6 of the World Series. Unfortunately, we got robbed of that game. Not going to happen. So we'll watch San Diego State and Boise instead. By the way, Derek Stevens and his crew from Circa is going to be up on the blue turf in Boise on Friday night. So check out. Maybe they'll be featured on the telecast. I know they're going to be up there. Derek's looking forward to that trip with his guys. I was on San Diego State last week as a 14-point home dog to Washington State. Tim, and that got bet up to 15. And I thought, I can't believe, I didn't get the best number on that, but didn't need it. And, in fact, Washington State was lucky to win the game, came back to win 29-26 with 15 points in the fourth quarter. Aztecs have been playing better. And one thing they can do is run the ball. Marquez Cooper is one of the better running backs on the West Coast. He had 18 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns against Washington State last week, and the Aztecs ran for 130 yards. Danny O'Neill, the diminutive freshman quarterback, tough kid. He's been improving. I've seen plenty of signs of improvement in Danny O'Neill. Aztecs defense has been a little bit better. But Boise's got, and we saw it last week against UNLV, the Broncos have instant offensive potential. And with Ashton Jeanty, if you're not slowing down the run, you're going to be in big trouble. And the game can get away in the second half. It's kind of like the snowball effect where the Aztecs can hang close for a while. And before you know it, a 10-point game turns into a 30-point game. I would only take the dog here. But it also wouldn't stun me if you take the 23.5 or 24, and I do see a 24 out there now. There was that out there a couple times, a couple different books this week. It wouldn't stun me if the game gets away and the Aztecs get blown out.
Boise State, 13.5-point favorite in the first half. If you're wondering, over at FanDuel, Ashton Jeanty over under 182.5 rushing
yards.
UNLV
defense did a great job last week containing Ashton Jeanty. And I think the Aztecs are not as good against the run as the Rebels are, but I don't think Jeanty's going to go for 200-plus. But I also can't guarantee that because I would be a lot more confident here with the Aztecs if they happened to get, you know, if they had this game at home. Going up on the blue turf in Boise, they could get blown out.
Yeah, and I do wonder, I don't want to say the blueprint, because Ashton Jeanty, he might define a lot of regular thinking, but I thought Barry Odom and company did a really good job containing him. Maddox Mattson made some plays, though.
Sure.
Boise State now minus $2 to make the college football playoff.
Sure, looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, they are in the driver's seat to win the Mountain West, so yeah. I think they win this game. JVT, by the way, for those wondering if you want a best bet, our colleague JVT, he did take the points with San Diego State. Two other games, Matt, on Friday night. UConn laying 4 against Georgia. Actually, that's the first half line. Hold on. 7.5 against Georgia State. I was about to say, like, wow. And then South Florida at Florida Atlantic. You got a home dog situation. The one thing I'll mention about UConn here, this is the final game of this wild stretch where they have not been on the road since early September. They had 6 straight home games. Jim Mora's squad would get the bowl eligibility with a win here against Georgia State. But no bets for me in either of these other two games. Georgia State once again catching 7.5 at UConn. South Florida laying 2.5 on the road at FAU. Anything from you in those two contests?
Nothing. If I played anything, it would be San Diego State plus 24. But looking at the screen now, it looks like 24s have disappeared, 23.5. I will say that Thursday nights, VSiN primetime, Tim Murray, you typically host the hour from 5 to 5:45.
That's right.
Where Derek Stevens, Wilbo, and Darren Banks come in studio. And Banksy makes his play of the week, right?
He's got red hot.
Is it one college football play or just one football play on the board?
It mixes up. It's just football. He goes, he sways week to week.
Well, I can tell you the Darren Banks play of the week, and he's been hot, is South Florida minus 2. So for the record, there
All
you
right,
go.
There you go. See, you come here for the bonus segment. We give you the plays that are out there. The Banksy play of the week, lay in the chalk with the Bulls on the road in Boca. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. As mentioned, please rate, review, and subscribe. We're back next week. 3 episodes. You know, people are talking about Wednesdays with Wes. A little situational handicapping. Adam Burke on Tuesday. Wes Reynolds on Wednesday. Matt Eumanns on Thursday. We'll talk to you next week. We want winners, Matt, right?
We want winners.
Let's get out of here. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.